806 FM Talk 1065. Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Phone line, text line. Text line back up and working. Thank you, West Coast technicians out there, for getting up a little bit early and fixing your software.
Probably woke up and pushed one button.
That's right.
Fixed all of our issues this morning.
Nobody was on call, really? So the text line and the phone line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Of course, it is a Wednesday. We get to talk to our buddy Jeff Poore from Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. And, of course, this is the big national story this morning, the tape. Even though I think it's probably a digital, maybe it was a tape, maybe it was analog, and a little part of that is this.
When it comes time for the financing, which will be...
Listen, what financing?
We'll have to pay you, so...
Don't pay with cash.
No. I got... No.
Okay, so no for paying with cash. We're going to pay with check. Jeff, what do we make of this morning?
This is a media fascination. I don't know that you look around the media landscape and it's about as you would think. It's the MSNBCs and the CNNs really playing it up, playing the audio in a loop, saying this is, we got him now. And the Fox News types just kind of looking, at it as, oh, look, another, did he say this and parse it and kind of dismissing it. So I don't know what we expected to come out of this, but I think we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, okay. And what is that?
You'll have the usual, Trump survived a Billy Bush weekend. He's going to survive this. But it'll give people stuff, something to talk about. It'll, just kind of add more fuel to the fire back and forth. But I don't know that it really moves the needle. I don't know if you supported Trump yesterday morning that you've, I'm not going to support him anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing we've talked about so many times, that the cement is dry there. Are there... But looking at 2020 or its impact on anybody in the midterms, are there the undecideds? Are there the people that will be swayed by this? I mean, I got to think there has to be. I'm always looking at the middle, right? The swing voters. Are there none of those left?
Well, I always look at the midterms as a get-out-the-base vote. It's not like a presidential election. It's not where you're looking at swing states and things like that where there are a lot of purple voters. We're not talking about the I-4 corridor, right?
Right.
Or Butch County, Pennsylvania. It's who could get their voters out. I look at it, and it's still geography to me. The voters for the Democrats are in places that are Democrats already, and the places that are the voters that are Republican, they're in Republican places already, and I don't know that there's a whole lot of wiggle room there. Now, we may be talking about some of these blue state Democrat, red state Democrats, the Joe Manchins and the Heidi Heitkamps. Maybe it makes a difference there, but I'm still skeptical about that. I think the issue the people are really the most concerned about is going to be the economy and how well they are doing.
Yeah, let's talk about what might be at question here, because we'll put the hay down here where the horses can get after it, because not a lot of people will, but I know Jeff will. The idea that Trump is held to a litmus test of purity, if somebody thinks that, then this is a big deal. Because people say, oh, the question of extramarital affairs. But, I think there's a lot of people that assume that that's happened with Trump. And at the same time, the other group's going to say, well, he said he had no knowledge of it, so he's caught in a lie. You know, if the expectation, I'm sorry, folks that'll get hurt by this and feelings hurt, but if your expectation that Donald J. Trump has never had anything like this go on, or has never said anything that wasn't absolutely the truth when he said it, maybe this is shocking. But I think for a lot of other Americans, they'll just say, yeah, there's more of that. Let's get back to work.
Yeah, billionaire playboy doing billionaire playboy things. I think a lot of people thought this was the case when they voted for him. They voted for him knowing he has a lot of baggage.
That's a good question. That's a good point. That when the people went in to vote for Trump, do you think this was already cooked in? They're not surprised by this?
Yeah, I think it's different from Bill Clinton or George W. Bush or anybody else.
Why is it, though?
Because they have had a reputation, or at least they tried to maintain a reputation, that they were lily white, that they were of high moral character, whereas we litigated these this Trump drama in the 1990s. You know, the tabloids of New York have been following him for decades. So I don't think it hurts him as much as it would your traditional commander in chief.
And Trump has responded this morning via Twitter to those tapes that were played on CNN last night. He said, "What?" And I'll read this verbatim, so stick with me here. "What kind of lawyer would tape a client? So sad. Is this a first? Never heard of it before. Why was the tape so abruptly terminated?" In parentheses, he put "cut." "While I was presumably saying positive things, I hear there are other clients and many reporters that are taped. Can this be so? Too bad."
What do you make of that?
About what you'd expect. I don't know what you can make of it.
Word salad.
We were sitting around last night wondering when this tweet was going to come. I think it was just a matter of time and just how over the top he would try to go with it in his response. But I wouldn't be surprised that that it happened that way.
Yeah, this is one of the interesting angles here is the idea of hypocrisy for me. But I think the way you framed this, it makes the debate a little broader, because people say, hey, if this was, like you just said, it was Bill Clinton, it was George Bush, if it was Barack Obama, he would be being, drugged through the coals on this for whether it's the affair allegation or the saying that he didn't know about it when it's obviously he did. But you're saying the nature of Trump, the fact that people don't expect that, you can't get it. There's not a handle there.
Right, it's like when you go out on a drinking binge and you wake up with a hangover the next day. What did you think was going to happen? So, yeah, but yet you still did it, right?
Right.
You still voted for this guy. If another thing like this comes out tomorrow, are you going to be surprised? I think a lot of people voted for this. They knew it was going to happen, but they did it anyway. And if you think you're going to try to make something out of it, I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
This is, but yeah, like you said, there's a bunch of folks, the MSNBCs of the world are going to try to make, and CNN going to make something out of it. And at the same time, fairly enough, you said there are other groups like Fox News or like just kind of pretended it didn't happen. And probably the reality of the discussion is in the middle. But does it matter to run the country? That's probably the question a lot of people asked. Does this change anything going forward? I don't know. I think it probably changed the landscape of who can run for office going forward and what they could admit to. I mean, maybe Bill Clinton wouldn't have said he smoked it but didn't inhale. Now, post Trump, he just said, "Oh yeah, I smoked it."
Oh, well, it's a total different world than it was back then. I mean, we look what cost Robert Bork a Supreme Court seat back then that we just shrug off now, right?
That's true. Things have changed.
And I think there's going to be a lot more, there's a lot of storylines to this story. We were talking earlier this morning about how it was the National Enquirer's parent company that initially bought Karen yes. McDougal's story, how that was sold to Cohen and Trump. And also, the tape that was released last night was released by Cohen's attorney, Lanny Davis. He handed this over to CNN. I'm no lawyer, but I'm just wondering how that will play out in court, an attorney secretly recording a client right. and then releasing that tape.
Go ahead.
I think he gets disbarred. I think Michael Cohen's headed toward disbarment. I don't know what the rules are in New York, but it seems pretty across the board to me that you can't do that. And that's unethical behavior and the way it's playing out. All someone needs to do is file a bar complaint, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens before the end of the day.
Wow. And the other part of this, maybe you could just bounce this around. A question I had this morning, reading through the story and the allegation of how this went down, are we talking about a form of legalized blackmail? In other words, let me make it clear what I'm asking. When this conversation's going on that's being recorded, if I'm understanding it correctly, it's AMI, it's David Pecker there and National Enquirer. They've got the story. They say, hey, we paid for the story. We have the McDougal story, but we'll sell it to you for $150,000 and you can do with it as you wish. In other words, if I said, hey, I've got dirt on you and unless you pay me off, I'm going to release it, everybody knows that's blackmail. But if it's, hey, I bought the rights to a story here that doesn't look good, you don't even say that, I bought the rights to this story, but you can buy them from me for $150,000 and do with them what you wish. To me, that dances the line of blackmail while maybe staying on the legal side of the line.
Right. I guess as long as both parties agree to it, then, you know, it is what it is. It's no different than paying the hush money.
Yeah, it's just, I guess it struck me this morning when reading through. I said, God bless, this is like a legal form of saying, you know, I could release this story.
And it happens.
But you can buy it from me. And if you buy it from me, then it can't be released.
It happens so often they have a name for it. They call it catch and kill.
Yeah.
And I guess no telling how many stories have been buried like that.
Wow. All right. Hey, can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right. Coming right back, more with Jeff Poore. And we'll also get your text in the mix at 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll take it to Alabama Politics, too, when we get back. Talk about the debate that most of us don't think will happen between Ivy and Maddox, but Maddox is asking for it. We'll get Jeff's take on that as well when we return. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Reminder, too, links up on our social media platform, but it's a National Hire a Veteran Day, and the virtual job fair going on, I think, is pretty cool. The Hire Our Heroes folks have this where they're putting together people that are looking for new employees and veterans that are looking for jobs are doing this all over the country. And also the folks at Hire Our Heroes are doing this year-round, like you said earlier, Dalton, with job training and putting these people together, but bringing extra attention to it today with National Hire a Veteran Day. We'll talk about that more coming up. Also, check back in with Jeff Poore, but I want to give you one more heads up here. When you want to save money month to month and you look at your credit card debt, realize the fact that national average 18-19% right now on credit card debt. Obviously, that's going up as interest rates are going up. And what are you paying? What are you paying in interest every month? If you're thinking about saving money this summer, start by paying less interest on your credit card balance when you can refinance your credit cards with a consolidation loan from LightStream. It's an easy way to save hundreds of to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate at the same time. LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with auto pay, lower than average credit card interest rate. Yeah, so you got like 19% nationally. I'm no math major, but 5.89%, a lot lower.
Oh, yeah.
LightStream believes people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. So say goodbye to high interest credit cards this summer and start saving with LightStream. So here's how it works. Y'all can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates when you go to LightStream.com/Sullivan. LightStream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information. All right, continue our conversation with Jeff Poore, and a lot to talk about here as we national story, of course, the recording, the tape, and also that, you know, the little sidebar question I asked you, is this some sort of, at least what's described in the story, it seems like a legalized blackmail.
Right, and, you know, I mean, perhaps if one of the parties viewed it that way, and they wanted to pursue it in that vein, they could, but it would have to come out, it would have to be public, and just to avoid all that, then you could call it the catch and kill.
And this is something I must keep looking into, because like Dalton said, this is something that has a name. They've obviously been doing it in the tabloid business a long time, and that's kind of news to me. All right, I want to bring it back home here, and the debate that will never happen. Well, maybe it will, but it looked like yesterday, as you said in an email to us, a little political theater as Walt Maddox asking for the debate with Governor Ivey.
Right, so he issued a challenge for four events, I believe two debates, two town hall meetings. Very ambitious, given he's so far down, but he did, and media picked it up and ran with it. I don't think we'll be seeing Kay Ivey on a debate stage with Walt Maddox in this cycle, but if Walt Maddox is serious about it, Walt Maddox needs to make up some ground and at least make her think that, or her campaign think that he's a threat to them.
I mean, that'd be, we use the football analogies a bunch, but that's the kind of stuff I understand. I mean, Kay Ivey plays prevent defense, right? She has a lead, just hold on to it through November.
Right, and that's, you know, why would she get on the debate stage of Walt Maddox, right, if she's already a, you know, she's so far ahead? What is she, instead of winning by 35 points, she's going to win by 50 points if she comes out of the debate, you know, at best. I don't know that, and that's just the reality of it. If these folks really want to see a debate, if they really want, you know, KIV and Walt Maddox up there, then Walt Maddox is going to have to be the guy that bridges the divide.
And the Ivy campaign yesterday emailed their, I guess, official response to Maddox's last, his debate challenge. And that email said, Walt Maddox refuses to say if he supports Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. It's impossible to get a straight answer from him on gun rights, and he's all over the map on abortion. It seems the person Walt Maddox should be debating is himself. That was the official Ivy response yesterday.
And that's not a bad response.
I agree.
Because, I mean, The governor's race and what that has to do with the Supreme Court confirmation is a little iffy. But beyond that, you know, you're going to have to run against Trump. But you're going to have to run as a Democrat, as Nancy Pelosi's party, the way we saw Bobby Bright have to run against Martha Roby, I think. That's tough. Otherwise, it's one of those things where you say a good defense is a good offense.
Okay, but that is interesting to me, is how you play that in Alabama as a Democrat. Do you have to run, you know, as a Democrat Party continues to go further left, do you have to follow them? Because reminder here, you're running in the state of Alabama, just the same way if you had a Republican running in a very bluish purple state, the kind of Republican that you would feel that you think might be able to win in a state like that would not be the same kind of Republican that maybe you'd field in Alabama, right? So wouldn't the same be true for Democrats, that you would couch the messaging, make it, you know, a little bit different for an attempt to win here? I mean, wouldn't that make sense?
I think so. If I'm advising the Walt Maddox campaign, I'm going to tell them to kind of do what that the member of Congress did in Western Pennsylvania earlier this year, the Democrat that kind of ran as a populist. Suddenly, you know, you got to, if you want to make up ground, you got to win over some Republican votes in Alabama if you're a Democrat. I think there might be something there for a Democrat to kind of run on tariffs, on all these things that, you know, Republicans sort of shrug at about the Trump agenda, especially in this state. I think you run as a populist. I think you kind of run more of a Democratic populist. It's sort of like a big Jim Folsom, if you look at Alabama history. You're running against the big mules. You're running against Montgomery. You're running against Republican control. You say, look what you got with Republicans. You got Mike Hubbard. You got Roy Moore. You got Governor Bentley. You need to do these things. And you got the media on your side. You can get that message out there if you want. Instead, it's this sort of weird kind of gimmick, this, hey, she won't debate me. That should tell you all you need to know. If I'm Walt Maddox, I got to rethink this thing. And you got a few months to do that, but I don't think a public letter with four debates or four events is the way to do that.
I hate that we're running out of time here, but maybe we can get you back on later shows to talk about this. Your story over at Yellowhammer News, too, that kind of floats out what maybe the mainstream media doesn't understand, why evangelicals and folks in states like Alabama still support Trump.
Yeah, I've said this over and over again. I've always said the connection between Trump and evangelicals has nothing to do with his morality. It has more to do with, you know, that he's willing to defend their right to practice their religion, that he sounds like a strong voice, whereas Obama, prior, you know, Democratic administrations were a threat to it and their way of life, the culture, all these things. And that's what I think. That's why I think these stories, what the Post did, really miss.
Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, always a pleasure. Jeff Poor checking in with us. By the way, you can link through. You can go to Yellowhammer for that story. It's actually up at AL Newswire, alabamanewswire.com. Check it out there as well. Plus, I put a link on our Twitter feed. Pretty darn good read, although I expect that from Jeff. 8:30, check in with the news, and coming right back, take your phone calls. Phone number 343-0106.
836, now on FM Talk 106.5. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, talk to sales manager Brian Gardner. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Dalton.
What's happening on the lot at McConnell today?
Well, still the extension of all the good things that have been happening all month of July. The Percentway is back at McConnell. What does that mean to you? That means simple math. I can do simple math. I know you can, too. We've got 18% off Buick Encore right now, also 12% off Buick Enclave. That's the all-new Buick Enclave that changed body styles in 2018. So come see the upgrades that Buick has done on that fantastic full-size SUV. Still have, we don't forget about Sierra around here. That's our bread and butter. Still got 13% off MSRP, plus another 2% if you finance with GM Financial. And don't forget about courtesy transportation Sierras as well. We'll save you close to 20% on those. Percent Play is back. Get by and see us. We'll do simple math together.
All right. We appreciate it, Brian. Have a good one.
All right, guys.
That's Brian Gardner. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. A couple things on the list we're talking about here and looking at the text line. People are texting in, and you're welcome to call at 343-0106. Number one, discussion of Governor Ivey and Walt Maddox. Now, and Supermom, I get what you're saying, Supermom, but it's not going to happen. Supermom says, I can't vote for Ivey if she doesn't debate Maddox. One vote may not matter, but this is not fair to her constituents. But, you know, that's the thing that... The days of, you know, I went on this, I think, little mini rant yesterday about this. This is what we deal with because we have gerrymandered districts to be sure things for Republicans or sure things for Democrats, mm-hmm. right? So the nature of having to, in a general, now it happens in a primary, it's just move that debate to primaries versus generals. And the fact that somebody's going to debate or risk something when they don't have to. And that's not just Governor Ivey. I guess what I'm trying to say is this is not just on Kay Ivey. This is on, you know, anybody in that position in another state. It could be a Democrat in a state where Democrats rule, but there's some upstart Republican, and the Democrat pretty much has got it locked in. Why would they risk? And just pragmatically, why would they risk? And I'm with you, Super. Believe me, look, we do this for a living. I want the debate.
Oh, yeah.
As a citizen, I want to hear the debate. As a broadcaster, I want to have the debate to talk about, get reaction. I'm with you. But strategically and pragmatically, if the job of the person running the campaign for KIV is to make sure she wins as governor of the state of Alabama, why would you risk that?
Yeah, I mean, if Alabama were a complete 180, and if mm-hmm. we had a Democrat in office right now, and a Democrat was expected to easily win mm-hmm. the election for governor, and if that Democrat were Walt Maddox, he wouldn't be calling for a debate right
Correct.
Now. If he had a 35, if he had around a 35-point lead in the polls, or
there'd be no reason to.
I mean, it's all risk-reward, and that's exactly why Maddox is coming out and asking for a debate, and that's why that's been in the news for nearly a straight week now, is because that's his best move right now, is to make her look weak by refusing to debate. But her best move, on the other hand, is to completely avoid any debate. And I'm not sure if debates from now on politically, if we'll get anything but, you know, just mouthpieces for each party. I mean, right. what would Kay Ivey go out there and say that differs from the usual Republican talking points? And if she did come out and say anything that differed from Republican talking points, then she would be doing a bad job
right.
because her constituents would not like that.
So this is for Maddox. And listen, Walt Maddox's campaign is doing what they're supposed to do. All sides right now are acting normally.
Yeah.
The normal motivations are there. But it, like Dalton, you just said, I mean, there's not anything that's going to come out in that debate on policy that should be a surprise from a Republican. Maybe Walt Maddox could surprise people with a, you know, a, like I was asking Jeff about, a little more of a centrist Democrat view. I think if you run, you know, as national Democrat politics, you're just for sure pushing yourself further and further down the polls. But if you get this kind of centrist thing and you want to run with that, and maybe. But at the same time, KIV's job is to win. Right, I know her job is to govern the state, but y'all, let's pull back the veneer here. Let's pull back the apply board for a second and look at what's real. You can't do, you know, you would tell yourself in that position, I can't continue to do what I'm supposed to do for the Republicans if I don't stay in office. And I have to stay in office. and that's the job to stay in office. And that is the pragmatic play. That is what is done across. And like you said, you flip it around. If Walt Maddox is in the position of KIV right now, he doesn't make the argument. And the reason why Walt Maddox, I like to say the things nobody else wants to say. You can't hear on TV and all that. So Walt Maddox wants to debate KIV. Well, number one, use it as a bludgeon right now. But number two, he would relish the opportunity to get up and debate KIV. It's not about the policy. It's the fact that he's a young guy, right? And he's full of energy, young guy, to do the old, you know, Nixon-Kennedy thing, right? Let's get side by side. Look who, just optics, not substance, but optics, he would win that one.
Yeah, and I don't like to speculate on how good or bad KIV would be on the debate stage, but from public speaking we've seen in the past, I do not think that would be your strong suit. And from what we've seen with Maddox, it seems like he's pretty quick-witted, and he's got everything to gain if they were to debate, because I can tell you right now, it would be all KIV would be able to do during the debate is deflect, because he would be bringing into question, you know, what have you actually brought to Alabama, Governor Ivey?
Oh,
what have you done?
He'd try to link her to Bentley and the whole night. Yeah, I mean, it'd be all those things, and once again, he would be doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, once again, the coyote and the sheepdog both are doing their job. You know, but in this case, KIV's play, pragmatic play, is not to debate. And once again, I would like Supermom and others on the text line, I would like to have the debate too, but I completely understand what KIV's doing. All right, let's go to the phones. And first up, hey, it's Billy, the friendly Democrat. Hey, Billy.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Listen, Kay Ivey is the king of the mountain, and she's not going to let anybody even get a foothold to get up the mountain to get a hand on her.
Well, why would she, right?
Politics, and there's no reason she should.
Right.
Because you're right. If it was the other way, it would be the same thing. And I can tell you this. She's going to be baited and challenged as hard as he can, and she's not going to fall for it because she is very shrewd. She is a good politician the way she's running so far by just keeping her nose clean and doing safe things.
Yeah.
In that vein, I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
I'm going to predict that this Brandenburg Satterwhite, 150 vote judge election,
yeah,
I'm going to bet that she appoints Satterwhite into Sarah Stewart's place, who went to the Supreme Court. You know why?
Why?
It's a 150 vote difference, and it's safe. I mean, you know, he's a good, solid conservative Republican right up her, you know, wheelhouse, and there's 150 votes difference. How can she go wrong? That's just a play I think she's going to make here.
Do you think it's on her radar? Do you think, and what we're talking about, what Billy's talking about, y'all, if y'all didn't hear that when they counted the provisional ballots yesterday, the big story, of course, we talked about the House 102 race, but it, as well, it came in and by another slim margin, I got Brandi Hambright confirmed over Harry Satterwhite. And that, why would she, do you think that this race here locally is on her radar?
Well, she's got to make a decision. I mean, she needs to put somebody as, she's going to appoint somebody, you know. So.
But you're saying that everybody's going to win? She's going to say, okay, so it's Brandi Hambright takes, I mean, because Brandi still has to run in the general, you know?
Yeah, well, listen, I'm telling you, though, it's just safe. And she is a good politician, and she does what is safe. And I just have a feeling. And I mean, she's not going to rub anybody by doing that. I mean, you know, Brandi gets what she wants. Mr. Satterwhite gets what he wants. She gets an easy, you know, decision, and you know who's she gonna alienate? Nobody. So that's just what I predict. I think it was and it avoids a recount or any of the contesting among the Republicans. You know, it just seems to fit.
There we go. I appreciate the call, Billy. You see this? This is a story just popped up here from our buddy Bill Riles over at WKRG. President Donald Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame was destroyed early this morning. Police were seen at the scene with what appears to be a pickaxe left on the ground. One witness said, I just seen a guy going to town on, I guess, the ground or whatever. I didn't know what was going on, so I turned, and here we are with police everywhere. Oh, that's a great...
I think we have our first suspect.
Yeah, that's a great quote there. But we'll get back to that story after this. 850 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane on the IR this morning. So that's good. When Kane's not here, we don't have any traffic problems, right?
It's clear and easy.
Yeah, there's no problem when he's not here.
Guess there was an accident earlier this morning, I-10 westbound in the Wallace Tunnel. That's been cleared, but as of about 30 minutes ago from Mobile AL Traffic on Twitter, they said that there's still delays on the causeway westbound because of that wreck that was in the Wallace Tunnel.
All right. By the way, it's going to be that news story from now until whenever something changes, won't it?
Except on Thursday afternoons heading east through the tunnel. There's never bad traffic on Thursday or Friday afternoons in the summer.
No issue. Hey, by the way, this is maybe a good reason for you to stop down on the causeway and hit up the original Oyster House causeway location. That's the one I go to. I think I've only been to the Gulf Shores location like twice. I've been to the causeway location like $2,000 times. So it's and by the way, too, if you've got a favorite location of the original Oyster House, maybe that's where you pick your spot to take the sunset picture. We talked about this for a couple weeks. There's a contest going on with the original Oyster House now through the end of August, where you go out, have dinner, and snap a picture of the sunset at the original Oyster House, either from inside or just right outside of the restaurant. And I'm thinking, you know, obviously causeway location, get the sunset over downtown Mobile, get that framed up, of course, at the Gulf, little lagoon, what a nice backdrop for that picture. And then you post it to the Facebook page, facebook.com/originaloysterhouse, with the hashtag OOHSunset. And then, well, you tell your friends, hey, look, there's my photo. Let them do likes and help promote it. And then at the end of August, the folks at the original Oyster House will draw for a winner who wins a dinner for two up to a $50 value and other great prizes, including an original Oyster House tote bag filled with goodies. So check it out. Go grab some dinner and snap that picture of sunset at the original Oyster House, and hopefully you will win. Also mentioned today, and we'll talk more about this in depth on the Midday Show, it's National Hire a Veteran Day. And this is something that, you know, there's the National Whatever Day. Yeah, it's a National Popcorn Day or whatever. Today, pretty serious, right? National Hire a Veteran Day. And there's also a group that's putting this on that's doing this year-round called Hire Our Heroes. Hire Our Heroes is doing this 365. But today, they have a virtual career fair going on. We put the link up on the Facebook page and also on my Twitter feed. This is where interested companies meet and review or interview veterans in a live virtual online environment. Employers and job seekers go to hireourheroes.com, and you'll see the link for the virtual career fair. Get more information. That's going on today. But the folks at Hire Our Heroes say this does happen year-round. You mentioned military.com had a story about this and talk about the job training they're doing.
Yeah, they spoke with the, the founder of Hire Our Heroes. His name is Dan Caporale, and he said how he got this idea. They founded Hire Our Heroes in 2013, and since then, say they've helped more than 10,000 veterans find employment. And they do more than just, you know, link you up with the employers. They've actually been training veterans. They've been using training and certification through Skillsoft technology. That way, the veteran comes to the job search with the required skills and training already in place. But today, that virtual job fair, employers and veterans who have signed up for the event, they can interact with one another in chat rooms. And the Hire Our Heroes folks say, come to it, come prepared as you would any job interview, dressed for success and prepared for whatever job you're interviewing for. So really cool thing they're putting on today on National Hire a Veteran Day.
Yeah, and today during the Midday Show, I'd like to, if there's anybody, we could do some matchmaking here locally between employers looking for veterans or veterans looking for a job. We will do that. And also, the number of veteran-owned businesses in our area, I'd like to celebrate those as well. So they're hiring veterans and also veterans that have done the entrepreneur route and gone out on their own. We'll talk about that coming up as well. And by the way, from the text line before, I don't want to forget, Fred, thank you. Fred proves that he understands what I've been saying for years, like when I got through my arms up in the air when they go, another news story about sharks in the Gulf, and I go, yeah, well, that's where they're supposed to be. Like, it's a news story, like sharks in the fountain at the mall, news story, sharks in the Gulf, not a news story.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be in the mall.
You know, alligator in our lobby, news story, alligator in the Delta, not a news story,
nope.
Right? That's where they're supposed to be.
Not unless it eats a dog.
Fred added this to the list, Loxley work release criminals on the run. Not a news story.
No.
You know, it's happened so often. How about this? When the work release criminals in the state of Alabama don't go, when somebody doesn't go on the run, that may be the news story.
Yeah, and unnamed texter just took it where I was about to take it. Bear in tree. Is that news story or non-news story?
Oh, my gosh. With yesterday and the bear. So there was a bear in a tree over at the McDonald's, one of the McDonald's in Pensacola,
yes.
Right? And it absolutely shut down social media yesterday with everybody watching that. So, and then we have, of course, a story I have reported on a lot this morning about the wild boar being subdued after charging a patron at a Morgan County gas station. That story to me wasn't as much about the hog. It was about the pursuit of the hog. Now, the nuance, I think, you can enjoy this story, and I put this up on our Twitter feed as well. You can enjoy the story however you want. It's over at AL.com. Anna Beam did the story. But the part of it that really spoke to me, spoke to that sense in me of what amuses the ever-living mess out of me, was this part of the story. Okay, you got a wild boar went to attack a customer at a gas station.
As they do.
Early Monday morning. Well, I got stories about that. But they started the second paragraph here. Says Decatur, so city of Decatur, town of Decatur. Decatur officers initially responded to the report of the wild boar charging a patron at the Chevron gas station on Point Ballard Parkway. It says the Chevron gas station is within Decatur's police jurisdiction. But y'all, it doesn't end there. Next sentence, the animal then ran to the MAPCO gas station and into Priceville. I can't even do it. Into Priceville's police jurisdiction. So by the amusing part, other than just the fact that you had officers chasing the hog around a vacant lot next to the Comfort Inn across Highway 67, according to Priceville police, you had the idea that the hog was in Decatur's police jurisdiction. Decatur police are responding up there in Morgan County. Next thing you know, it's crossing into an... And my law enforcement friends, y'all soak this one up and tell me what you think. Did the officers from Decatur Police, PD, get on the radio to Priceville and ask if they had to call off their pursuit or they could continue their pursuit of the hog into the other police jurisdiction?
And were the Priceville police waiting at the ready? At their at the line where they take over, were they preparing like the passing of a baton to complete this chase for the hog?
Y'all stand down, Decatur. We got this. Priceville's got this. We put up it's not a tack strip because it's hooves. It's a gigantic sticky trap like you use for mice. Uh-huh. We're gonna catch them on the sticky trap. Let them come over here. Call off your officers. Call off your pursuit.
You said this thing was what, 350 pounds?
Yeah, 300. Yeah, 350 pounds. That's what they said in the story. I'm looking at it. It could very well be 350. That's believable. I'm looking at a picture where they have it in a front end loader, and looking at the size of that loader. Quite often, I'll see these stories. You're going, it's not as big as, but it could be 350.
Did they put a sheet over the hog as they removed it from the scene?
They did not.
Okay,
they did not.
They just left it out.
No, but a completely unsubstantiated report that I may have just made up is the fact that they were digging a pit right nearby, and they were going to put that hog in the ground, and the Priceville Police Department was going to have a big cookout today.
Another golden part of this story is the headline, Hog Subdued. Subdued. That's the word we're using now for murdered in broad daylight.
Yeah, subdued makes you think they put them like in a full Nelson wrestling move or something like that instead of a 9mm in the ear. But all's well now in Morgan County. All right, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Laura Ingram's show is next.